Been like me. Feel like you've been awake since midnight, maybe, with the time change. But take some adjusting. I've realized it's quite an opinionated topic. Like, are there people that are like, not just like, I want to get rid of the time change, but like, good golly, why do we have that time change? You know? And then I'm like, I could go without it. I could go with it. I guess didn't realize it was a big deal, but it's nice to get the extra hour of sleep if you can get it. If you have kids, you probably did it, but that's all right. So this morning, what I'd like to do is we're going to be turning a little bit of a corner with where we've been at and a lot of what we've been working through and building as a foundation is purposefully trying to help us understand or reframe maybe something that we tend to approach in this world, which would be parenting and looking at family. And we tend to kind of segment things when it comes to our faith in a way that's kind of like, I want to figure this out, and I want to figure that out, and I want to figure this out, and I want to do parenting well, and I want to get my finances in order, and I want to make sure that my job's going well, and all these little things. And we tend to not view all of that under the lordship of following Jesus. And so what Pat and I have been doing as we've been walking through this series is trying to lay a foundation of this is what following Jesus, being a disciple, being a sent one, looks like. And this morning we're going to turn a corner and talk about now, therefore, because all those things are true, therefore, what does it mean to be a parent? What does it mean to look at family? What does it mean to understand that? So in the idea of the your next mentality, next man up, Jesus formed a family of disciples that followed him. And at some point they said, now you're the next one up, right? And now you're the next one up. And to take this mentality of what does it look like to follow Jesus and to be training ourselves, to be training those around us into our homes. There's no shortage for you if you were to go to Barnes & Noble, or most bookstores are now online. If you go to Amazon, if you go to wherever you're looking for books, if you say, I want to get a parenting book, it's going to pretty quickly go to, here's all the tools, here's all the methodologies, here's what you need to think about. And most of them don't start with, Jesus is the king of the whole universe. Let's submit the rule and reign of our hearts under his authority and follow him. And so that's what Pat and I have been building together over these weeks, understanding that the way that Jesus was sent is the same way that we've been sent. This is what you've been sent into your home. This is what you've been sent into your family. Just as Jesus was sent, with humility, with purpose, with identity, with connection. All of these things are true for you as a parent, as a grandparent, as an aunt, as an uncle, in whatever family relationship that God has you in. And all these things that we possess, they are not dissected and distinct from your role in your families, in your relationships. All of these things, if these don't feel practical, if we said, here's your practicals for parenting, live in your new life, we'd be like, well, that doesn't help me understand if I should do cloth diapers or disposable. What should I do? Live in your new life. But is potty training like 2 years old or three? Like, what's the bet? And we tend to see these as these high ethereal, you know, we'll think about those for a little bit on Sundays. But really, this is what gets multiplied into your kids. What gets multiplied into your relationships is how real these things exist in your life. And so we've just been laying this groundwork of what is a disciple, and do we feel responsible for those things? So as we turn this corner this morning, and kids, as you guys are a lot of you are in here this morning, what I'd like for you guys to consider is one day you may be a parent. One of the earliest memories of in my life of just like forward-thinking dreaming, I can almost picture where I was on Arapahoe Road in Denver, Colorado, driving in the back seat of the car thinking, I'm so excited one day to be a dad. And just dreaming about what that would be like and to have a family and to have kids. And so kids, this morning, what I'd love for you to think about is when you think about maybe one day being a parent, what comes to your mind? What dreams does God fill in your head? You're not too young to start thinking about that. So all of what we're looking at this morning, it falls under being a disciple. When it comes to the big questions of life, it all has a trickle down, okay? So if we're going to establish that, yes, there is a God, there are people that would land in a place that would say, no, there's no God, and there is nothing to begin with, and when you die, there'll be nothing. But the only thing that doesn't exist is nothing. How do you even imagine nothing? Nothing doesn't exist. Show me a place where nothing exists. There is nowhere. It takes more faith for me to believe in nothing than to believe in what we see all around us. You cannot photograph nothing. You can't taste nothing. You can't touch nothing. And so all the hang-ups our culture can have with, well, where's God? Have you ever seen God? Have you ever, you know, taken a picture of God? Well, no, I haven't. But I've also never seen, touched my brain. I have good reason to believe at least there's something in there. Might not be very big. But we have established, yes, God exists. Okay, so if God exists, can I know him? There would be those that would say, there is a God, but he's too unknowable. He's too far. He's too beyond. You know, agnostic. There's something there, but I can't land on it. And if that's the case, then how do we reason? How do we sense purpose? How do we understand any sense of foundation of morality, any sense of foundation of really anything? We have to have a way for us to know him. So those would land in the camp that know, but yes, if we can know him, okay, if we can know God, can we trust him? There would be places that would say, you can know God and he is scary. I don't know if you want to trust him. Because he's going to come after you. He's capricious. You don't know if one day he's on a good side of the bed or on the next day he's on the bad side of the bed. I don't know if you want to trust this guy. Word is said, yes, we can trust him. We can know him. He's trustworthy. He's good. Okay. Now, if I can trust in him and trust him, do I want to follow him? Do I want to yield my life to say, you get to call the shots. Your opinion in the room matters most. And at the end of the day, what you call good, I want to seek my heart to be conformed to what you call good. What you call beautiful, for my heart to call beautiful. And to follow you into all of those things. And so that's where this lands. Parenting is not this thing where I just get to try to figure it out. Get good kids, get the good life, and somehow disconnect that from following Jesus, okay? So this morning, whether you're a parent in here, or you're a grandparent, you're an aunt, an uncle, you're a brother or sister, whatever role or in a family you might find yourself this morning, I want to just give you some skin in the game. Why should you care about the next couple weeks of why we're talking about parenting? So the first is that every generation has to rediscover the gospel. There is no inheritance spiritually that automatically guarantees the transmission and the multiplication of the gospel. And usually what tends to happen, if you read through church history, what tends to happen is a generation gets really on fire for Jesus. They're like first generation followers. And then the second generation goes, okay, we're gonna kind of take the principles of what we just learned from those things, and we'll kind of make our methods and our systems of what the generation before discovered freshly. And by the third generation, if it's not been fresh and rediscovered and new, it usually just gets abandoned. And they go, that's a bunch of hooey-balooey, I'm gonna go do something else. So even if you don't have kids, even if your kids are grown, whatever you might be in, do you care about the next generation experiencing Jesus? Do you care about what six-year-olds are going to think about their faith and about the word and about all of those different things? We want to see this whole world reached with the gospel, and it's going to take place mostly, usually, among the youth. That's where most movements start. History would tell that most people have made their decision of what faith and worldview and all of that looks like by the time they're 12 years old. Now, there's obviously exceptions. God works later in our lives, but the bell curve would say by 12 years old, most people are pretty much, this is what I believe. And so there's this openness. We talk about unreached people groups. There's also a reachability of age. Kids are only kids for so long, right? Until they grow up and they get their beliefs nailed into the ground. Obviously, there's a major ministry just in our body here. And so our goal and our hope over these next couple of weeks would just be to help strengthen and support you parents in what you're doing. It's a big undertaking. It's a very consuming time of life. We were looking at budgeting our time a few weeks back, right? And I'm pretty sure 24 hours of that day we could have put under parenting, right? There's just a nonstop feel to it. And those of you that have adult kids, you go, I know what that's like. Yeah, and when you get the grandparents or when you get the grandkids again, you go, man, I don't know how I did this when I was younger because this is just intense. It's all in all the time. So we'd love to support and strengthen and envision you parents in our body. And just to consider, you once were a child. I don't know if you recognize that. Sometimes we take ourselves very seriously. But one time in your life, you were a kid. Look at that guy. That guy thought he was going to play center field for the Seattle Mariners. And he had all sorts of ideas and crazy things and just silliness and foolishness. And at one point, you may believe it or not, that was me. And at one point, right, at not just one point, multiple points in my life, not just my mom primarily, as my mom and dad were divorced, grew up mostly with my mom, but other people spoke into my life. Other people said, hey, I want to come take you fishing. Hey, let's go do this together. Hey, I want to share the gospel with you. Hey, I want to help show you more of Jesus. And the hope that we would have over these next couple of weeks is that we'd see that as a body, yes, within your household, responsibility lands with you to be the parent, to be the shepherd, to guide. But as a body, we're doing this together. As a body, we're doing this together. Grew up in a single-parent household. This is just from 2018. According to their studies, America would have the highest share of single parents in the world. I don't know how accurate that is, if that's still true today, but there's opportunity as a body to say, we care about this together. Given what the world that we live in, that it is challenging, and there is a way to strengthen both single parents and those that have two parents in their home, those that are grandparents helping to raise their kids, whatever situation it might be. And just to recognize kids want input. Kids want hugs. Kids want people to throw the ball with. Kids want people to play Barbie or dress up or whatever it is. And for us to see opportunities to build into that next generation. So this whole idea in this series is running to win, and especially with parenting, we'd love for you to just consider there is a long game where God can do anything he wants in the course of our lives, for sure. But if it's true that for most people by the age of 12, that they've landed in kind of their core beliefs of the world and of the universe, there is a little bit of an exchange zone that we want to be mindful of. If we just go, oh, they'll get this at some point in their life. This will be just fine, right? Maybe, maybe not. I think it would do us well to take pains and say, is there a special season of life that God has designed within the human condition in which we're more open and impressionable on purpose, that God would want to deliver things into our kids' lives and into each other's lives? And there's this season as a kid where all of what you believe about reality and what's right and wrong and who's the good guys and who's the bad guys and what's something that I should do, what's something I shouldn't, all of those questions are being answered. and that that's a special season that we need to take special attention to. So I want to walk you guys through a little bit of the history of parenting in America, the trends that I've seen. All of what I'm going to be sharing is I don't speak as an expert parent. But yet, if it took a perfect parent to share with us about parenting, we'd never talk about it. And so the reality is, yes, I'm still growing in my parenting. There's things that we're all growing in our parenting. We're going to look to the Word. We're going to look to God. We're going to learn from the things God leads us into that are good. We're going to try to learn from our mistakes. All of that's on board together. But as you look at where we're at as a society and as a culture with parenting, there has been quite a big shift with how we view kids, how we view what kids should be doing, what they're responsible enough to do or to think or to decide for themselves. I'm going to take you back in time. Teddy Roosevelt helped start a lot of national parks, very much an outdoorsman, get outside. He would say, we have a right to expect of any boy that he shall turn out to be a good man. The chances are strong that he will not be much of a man unless he is a good deal of a boy. There's a lot of confidence there. Like, hey, this is all that it kind of takes is build into the boys, and you're going to discover that you're going to have some strong men. There's a lot of feeling like we can do this, right? Frederick Douglass, he'd say, it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men, which I'd agree with. There's that age where we can build strength when people are young. They don't have to go through a lot of the pains that we go through, a lot of the folly that we can run into. And yet, would you say today that most people would say, yeah, I can build strong children. That's something I would know how to do, and let's get right to it. That's right on the tip of my mind. I know what I'm doing there. Jacqueline Kennedy, she said, if you bungle raising your children, I don't think whatever else you do matters very much. Interesting that she would share that, and then seeing especially that family as they've been in the spotlight and just what their kids and their family history has looked like. But overall, I think I would paint about 100 years ago. Well, sorry. So there's this proverb before I get to that 100 years. A lot of us are probably familiar with this proverb. Train the child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. Seems really straightforward. It's like, here's all you got to do. Right? Like, if you want your kids, when they're old, to be walking in the way with the Lord, here's all you got to do. It's really simple. Just train them in that. And yet, we go, man, parenting seems so much more complicated than just a verse. We're going to get back to this. If this is verse a promise? Is this verse something different? But if you look at a lot of what would be shared today contemporarily in the world of parenting, it's quite different. And obviously, I'm not drawing, Roseanne Barr wasn't a president, you know, so there's a little bit of, I understand these quotes aren't coming necessarily from the same station in life, but even so, I think you guys will see, Roseanne Barr, she says, as a housewife, I feel that if the kids are still alive, when my husband gets home from work, then hey, I've done my job. Okay, so everybody's living, breathing, good to go, we're good. Ray Romano, having children is like living in a frat house. Nobody sleeps, everything's broken, and there's a lot of throwing up. Okay, so you just move from mess to mess, and it's just a pigsty. Nothing's ever getting figured out. Alan Arkin, no matter how much time you spend reading books or following your intuition, you're going to screw it up 50 times. You can't do parenting right. And I think that sentiment would be more often than not what I hear today. It's way too hard. It's impossible. There's just too much going on. We're too busy. We're too tired. All those different things. So 100 years ago, you probably would have heard this message if we were talking about parenting. We would have heard, listen, parenting is really, 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 really important. It's really important. And if you train your kids, you can expect that they're going to grow up into amazing adults. That's probably the message you would have heard 100 years ago. Parenting is very important. Today, what I tend to hear more often than not is parenting is really impossible. And so we either need to be like super hawks that need to like find out the latest learning system or learning strategy, or this activity will get your kid into this school when they're 20, or all these different things. But it just feels like it's impossible and I got to somehow make my way in it. And so which one is it? And I think there's been a great shift in the way our culture thinks about parenting. Because 100 years ago, I would have said the overall message would have been that it tends towards moralism. You just do the right thing, you're going to get the good result. Know the right thing, do the right thing, all the right things will happen, right? So stop hitting your sister, that's wrong to do. Do the right thing, rest of life should be good for you. Just do the moralistic right thing to do. And we don't really live in that age. If you've been around and hear any of the cultural discussion, the whole even idea of what's right or wrong, what's up and down, what's left and right, what's man, what's woman, all these different discussions, there is no moralistic true north. There is no understanding of that. Today, our world is expressive individualism. All of what you feel and think inside of you, express it to the hilt, to the max. You do you. You get to be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. And both are missing Jesus. Okay? So if we just say, go do the right thing and believe the right thing and you'll be the right person, that's missing Christ. And yet today, the do whatever you want to do and express yourself, no matter who that lands on or what that feels like or whatever, they're both missing Christ. So today, I'm just going to paint a little bit of a lofty framework for where we're going. We're not going to spend a ton of weeks on this, but there are some things that I'm curious about. As I read through the Bible as a parent, I go, if parenting is so important, which it is, there's some things that make me very curious about if God really cares about our kids getting faith, why isn't there some things in it? I'm very curious why the Bible speaks very little on the very practical how-tos of parenting in life. If it is the most important thing, what school your kid gets into, or how straight their teeth are, or all these different things, if those are the most important things, why doesn't the Bible speak of those things? Why doesn't the Bible tell us cloth diapers are disposable, or when it's time to potty train, or when it's time to have the discussion, or all these different things that we think about with parenting? There's no verses on any of that. And yet, if you're a young parent especially, you can feel dominated with all these things. How do I get my kid on a schedule to nap? And all these different things. And the Bible speaks very little about all of those practical things. Hardly at all. The Bible speaks very much on our spiritual story, on faith formation, on being a disciple. The Bible's emphasis is not, here's a book, let me teach you how to be a good parent. That's not the Bible's emphasis. The Bible's emphasis is, here's a book, let me show you how to follow God and know him and be with him. And so what we're going to be doing over these weeks is not trying to self-select and just say, how do I get good kids? How do I get my kids to get good grades and be good citizens in this country and these different things? Those things might be good, but we want to speak on what does the Bible share in God's word that's eternal and lasting, right? We need to ask the right questions. And there's these things that we've talked through that keep us as parents, as those that help work with kids, that keep us from walking in that spiritual story and in that faith formation with our kids. Things that we might feel, maybe we feel laden down with shame. I just can't do this with my kids. I'm just too ashamed of what has happened or what I've done. That we get maybe outbursts of anger with our kids. It's hard for us to even see where they're coming from. All of these dynamics underneath as disciples are going to play all into our parenting and in every dimension of our life, okay? So one of the one passage that is maybe the longest passage in the New Testament that I can think of, outside of maybe Hebrews 12, which is talking about discipline, but relating it to God and us, this, I think, is the longest continuous passage about parenting in the New Testament, okay? Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. It's not a lot. Like, why isn't there an entire book of the Bible that's just written to parents and about parents? You could say Proverbs is for sure a lot of wisdom for parenting, but it's not specifically just for parenting. But Ephesians 6, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Okay, so somehow Paul, as he's thinking, I'm going to train believers, I'm going as an apostle, and my next stop in Ephesus. Okay, Church of Ephesus. They've got some parents there in Ephesus. I'm going to write maybe four or five chapters here. I want to explain the riches of God's grace, and I really want to explain how they're seated in the heavenlies. And this is what the parents also need to know, is that they don't know the height or length nor depth or width of God's love, and also that I was made a minister on their behalf, and that they would be one. I should probably really quickly scribble something in real fast here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Fathers, don't exist. Do you see? He's writing to the whole church body. They have kids. They have parents. There's not a ton that he's writing to. The backdrop of Ephesians is, how do you align yourself with Jesus and walk in him? Now, here's the practicals, real quick and easy. This is memorable. Kids, obey your parents. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Raise them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Thinking, the discipline and instruction is the last five chapters of what I just taught you. That's your curriculum, to bring them up in the training and instruction. So if we were to plot, who here loves 2x2 matrices? Shout out for 2x2 matrices. All of life can be understood. These two axes of authority and love. This morning, what I'd just love for you as parents to walk in. Parenting is the tension of authority and of love. And if you get off base on either one of those, you're going to fall into a ditch on one side or the other. So if you're not familiar with how these work, so the bottom left would be the quadrant, the block. If you've got zero authority, zero responsibility for your kids, and zero love for them, zero desire to bring them good and to bless them, you're just leaving them to carnality. You're just letting them be raised by themselves or whatever influence on TV or whatever medium that they're going to get. And so, for sure, we're not going to aim for that. Most people wouldn't say that's my aim. But for most of us, in one regard, we were probably parented in either the upper left or the lower right. In that, I'm in charge. Here's what's right. You better listen to me. It's my way or the highway. No means no means no means no means no. You know, all those things of, I have to live under your in-chargeness. And if there's very little love and connection in a home like that, what we tend to see throughout history, throughout anecdotes, is just a moralistic understanding of life. I have to do the right thing. They told me what to do. I have to do the right thing. If I don't, then I'm bad. And it's just, that's what it is. And yet on the other end, where our culture tends to be today, I would say, is parents saying, I don't have any responsibility here. What do you want to do, kids? The authority is very low, but the love and the care and the desire for good in a kid can be very high. There can be a noble desire. I really want your good. But in that individualism, it becomes very enabling. And boundaries just get blurred very much. And so the way I like to put it with parents is this. You know, the moralistic Pharisee is a little bit more tempting, right? Because if you think about it, would you rather have someone that goes, I've kept all the 600 whatever commands, I'm doing the thing, what God told me to do, or in this other lower box, it would be like, think of like Solomon with his 700 wives. Right? Just, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. It's like, I think if I had to pick one error, the one that's saying, I want to do all the right things, rather than we're coming to a family reunion and you've got your 700 wives, okay, this is going to be a little awkward and hard, right? And so as parents, I think especially within the church, my reflection and look on is, I think this is the error we Christian parents would tend to land on. Maybe that's historically, maybe that's changing. But I think we would land in a ditch more often than not in moralism. Here's all the commands. Here's what you need to do. Therefore, go do it. And if you haven't done it, then we need to make penance and repent and do all the right things to get God back on our side. But what we're after is a full understanding of your authority as a parent. You are in charge. You are in charge, parent. You are the driver. If you'd like a great resource book, something to read through that's been really helpful for me, there's a book called The Collapse of Parenting by Leonard Sachs. And he's written a number of books on parenting, but it's just his take on what's happened in this age is the collapse of parenting, and I'll just give you the punchline. The whole idea of the book is that parenting has collapsed because parents have stopped seeing themselves as the ones responsible for their kids, and they've started saying, kid, whatever you want to do, you get to go do. The kid has become the parent, and not the other way around. And what we're going to grow in, and what we're going to pursue, and what we're going to talk about is this idea of that you're fully in authority, and that all of that love and care together is what God's called us to. For that authority to be in place. Paul doesn't say, children, you get to decide all of whatever you want to do. No, children, obey your parents. And fathers, this speaks to the love. Do not provoke. Do not know your children's weaknesses and press into them until they're, you know, that proverb to just keep pressing an argument, it's going to make your nose bleed. You're going to cause strife. Understand what your kids' makeup is. Don't provoke them to anger. Okay, so these two poles of parenting. Authority, you're in charge. So parents, there's a need for your conviction. There's a need for your will to be strong. When you're pushed up against, I don't want to do that. I am in charge, and I want to lovingly bring you into this place of understanding. But this is my will. This is my heart. This is my value. And love, you are the heart giver, the comforter, the relational source of blessing for your kids. You image God himself, moms and dads. You're imaging him. You know, God at times refers to himself as a mother hen with her chicks. Both moms and dads, you're doing this together. The need for your grace, for your goodwill, your warmth, your care. So really what we're after, when we think of all of parenting, when I think of discipleship, when I think of following Jesus, this is just one of the planets of your life that are rotating that you need to be thinking about. In different seasons of life, when you just got a newborn, it's like 24/7, right? As kids get older, there's a little bit more breathing room. But this is still something as parents, and how do we manage parenting? How do we manage our marriage within that? How do we manage our career goals and free time and all these different things going on? And all of what Pat and I have been sharing these last number of weeks has been to try to establish, do you have a sun at the center of your solar system that isn't you? That isn't just based on, this is what I'd like this week. It's rotating, not around my child. This is how I keep my kid happy. And from us not having any disagreements, it's rotating around God. And that's a long term, long end game. This isn't an overnight fix, right? This isn't all conflicts will end today because we've talked about this or we understand this. But that's the trajectory. And as parents, for you to say, as they're 2, as they're 10, as they're 18, this is what we're doing together. We're setting a culture with God at the center. And at times, that's going to be really hard for me as the parent. There's going to be things I need to work through. In my fear, in my pride, in my anger, there's going to be things that I'm going to be here to help you, child, to work through in all of what you're going through. So parenting really is this overlap of a lot. It's the overlap of Eden's mandate to be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, to fill the earth. It's an overlap of Christ's mandate to make disciples, to make followers of Jesus. And the way is by the same way we do everything, loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself. And so this is just a hierarchy. here's where we're going. This is what we want to be looking at. We're not going to spend a lot of weeks on this. And the reason why are we doing this as a whole church body on a Sunday and not like a special class, like, hey, the parenting class, is again, because as a body, we want to see this is something we can all participate in. This is something that your prayers can affect. This is something that your hugs can affect. This is something you're serving in Sunday school for an hour, hour and a half a week can affect. All of what we're doing together, to see it as we're doing it as a body together. So though you might not have little kids at home, though you say, I don't have kids at all, that's okay. I think there's things here that God would want for us. And even as we look at our own lives, if there's one thing I can ask you to refrain from, is just to approach this with open hands. Because the temptation, because I've thought this and I've talked with lots of parents about this, the temptation is to say, well, this is how I was parented and I didn't turn out that bad. Right? How many of you have ever thought that or heard that or said that? This is the way that it was for me, and I'm here today, right? And I think what can be wrong with that is, one, you're assuming on the grace of God. God worked mightily in your life to get you to where you are today. And to just say, oh yeah, he's of course going to do that in exactly the same way in my kids' lives and everybody's life. Case studies would say, no, that's not the case. Secondly, if I can be so bold as to say, is, are you sure you turned out okay? Are you sure there's not things that are still in progress that God wants to bring more into the conformity of his image? I know for me, there are still things in me I go, this is the way I was parented, and I know that needs to change in me. I know that I need to grow in this. I haven't turned out okay 100%. There's still a work God's doing in me. And so as we think about how adorable our little kids are, how amazing they are as they come out of the womb, we had this picture, this is where I want to end this morning, this picture where I was talking about all that we're doing, we can tend to think, I need God's grace to just help me get up on the bike and start to be able to pedal on my own. And so God, I know I'm a young Christian, but I know I need to learn how to love people. I know I need to learn how to serve. I know I need to learn how to do all these things. Just give me a little booster, God, until I can get the pedaling down on my own. And then I'll take it from here. I got it, God. And I don't think that's what God's heart for you as a parent would be. Just God, you know, just give me a little grace until I can learn to not be angry with my kids and bark at them when I'm angry or whatever it might be that you're working through. God is wanting to do this in tandem with you. He's on the bike with you as a parent. And yet in parenting, there's lots of seats on this bike. And all the decisions that everybody makes on the bike affect everybody else on the bike, right? So one person goes, woohoo! It's like the whole other bike's going to start moving. And so for us to see in our parenting, as we're parenting with Jesus, we're parenting with God, we're inviting him near in all those hard, squishy spots, and with our kids on board, we want to do this together. We want to ride together. Not for just a moralistic right answer on the test, not so that their grades are great and their teeth are straight and everything goes perfect in their life, but that they'd want to know Jesus. Most parents' greatest fear of really wanting to train their kids to follow Jesus, most parents' greatest fear is that their kid would be weird. That's a real fear that we're going to have to wrestle with. Am I willing to raise a family, to disciple my kids in a world that is going to think more and more so every day, they're really, really weird? To follow Jesus is going to stand out like a sore thumb. And yet, that's what God's called us into. That's what every generation needs to rediscover more and more. So that's what we're going to be doing over these next couple of weeks. I'd love just for you to be praying about that. And parents, as we go through this every week, I just encourage you, discuss together as parents. Discuss with your kids. I was asking my kids this week, how do you experience my authority and how do you experience my love? Just give me honest feedback. What would that look like? Use these as discussion things. If your kids are grown and older, you're still their parent. It's different, but there's still ways for you to understand, how can I walk in this role as the one who's in authority and the one who's loving, bringing God's heart together. So that's where we're going to be going. Let me pray together. Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you're parenting us, Father, that we are now your children, and that the quintessential identity we own as your followers is that we're your children, that we belong to you. I just thank you that any authority in heaven and earth, it is derived from your authority. And so we just, as parents, we recognize our need to bow the knee before your authority. Your will be done. It's not a matter of getting our will accomplished, but what would make you most pleased. As we're your kids, we want to obey and follow you. Help us to model that in our families, in our homes, and as we do this tandem bicycle thing with as families, that we would see the great joy of uniting with our kids to follow you. And yet we understand within us there's a whole world, there's a whole upbringing, there's a whole ongoing dialogue that you need to speak into between ourselves and ourselves. Lord, would you rule and reign in our hearts as parents, as grandparents, as aunts and uncles, as brothers and sisters, as all the families that you've made. Would you rule and reign that you'd get your way in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven? We pray this in your name. Amen.